Hey, this is Anthony Crescenzo. This is going to be the first of I don't know how many podcasts I'm going to do called either Why or Lost. The reason I'm using one of those two is because I ask a ridiculous number of questions. I'm always asking up follow-up questions, and I have a really high tendency of either aggravating the person that I'm talking to because I'm asking so many questions that they think that I'm messing with them, or they think that I am the sweetest person in the entire world and I really care about their well-being. I'm not saying that either one of those is true or either one of those is untrue. I just genuinely have a lot of questions all the time, and I'm kind of trying to get to the answer. And I'm never really sure if it's because I genuinely don't understand where they're coming from, or if I want to somehow find myself in these answers or make myself whole or what it is. And I can guarantee you it is definitely not a passive-aggressive way of being. I'm passive, but I'm not passive-aggressive. Honestly, I take on a lot just to, like, people will just take a lot of advantage of me because I guess I'm nice. I'm not really sure. All right, so here's what you need to know about me going into this venture. I'm starting this at 41. I've done a couple of other podcasts for other networks. They haven't really been super successful, but I was told they were successful because we had a very limited amount of people that could ever subscribe to it. So those people that were listening were like, this is really good, you should be on something else. And I'm like, okay, great. Then we never really moved forward with it. I did a couple of college shows, and I guess they were heard throughout the college. Which means that the lunchroom heard it. That's really pretty much it, because although you could hear it in your car, nobody knew how to get to the station. I went to Coldwell College, which became Coldwell University, and even I did not listen to our radio station. I wound up listening to WSOU, which was out of Seton Hall in South Orange, which is not far. But it was an all-metal station, and I enjoyed that. Regardless, today's episode, it's going to be quick. I know I've already rambled for like 3 minutes, but whatever. I wanted to talk a little bit about booking, because I'm a stand-up comic. I've been a stand-up comic for about 15 years, I think. Maybe a little bit longer. And I've not just perform stand-up. I've not just been a writer. I've been on a few TV shows and been in a few movies, done some voiceover work for some big radio networks. But on top of just doing that, I also wound up being the manager of a comedy club. I have booked comedy clubs, not just as a performer myself, but also booked the talent for comedy clubs. In New Jersey, in New York, in the Bronx. It's been a pretty fun ride. Like I said, I used to manage a comedy club. Now I kind of own my own comedy club, but since we're in the middle of a pandemic and that comedy club happens to be in Newark, I'm not even able to access it, so we definitely can't do shows there. And I was being very hesitant about even trying to do a podcast, because it's a very different experience for me. I like doing it with a partner, and it's hard to get a partner when you're trying to do this. In all honesty, I'm probably going to wind up having to bring my computer with me to shows and just hope that the other person is willing to talk with me there, because I sincerely doubt they're going to come to my house to do these with me. Now, like I said, I've done all these things before. I started as, like, essentially not an agent, but just the guy who would seat people at a comedy club, and I barked people into a comedy club. Those are, I'm saying comedy way too much, but that's how I got my start. Also, I parked cars. That was before I even started going up and telling jokes for free. Like, that's when I was just trying to make some extra money in the parking lot. Regardless, today's episode, I just really wanted to talk about this weird situation that I had. I posted that me and one of my friends were throwing a show together at this bar. And we were throwing a show. We were not throwing an open mic, and they're not really the same thing. At a show, the performers are predetermined. And those are the people that are going to go on in whatever the form is that the bookers decide to do it. And it's like, all right, well, everybody could have the exact same amount of time, or there is an MC, and then everybody else gets a certain amount of time, then the MC breaks it up. Or you have a situation where it's like, the MC will do 10 minutes or something like that, and then you have another guy go on for like a half an hour, then the MC comes back on, does like another 5 minutes, and then the last guy goes on for, or girl, goes on for 45 minutes to an hour. Those are most of the classic shows you'll see in a club on the weekend. So today's show, we're doing four comics. It was predetermined. We knew who was going to be a couple weeks ago, but now I'm getting calls and messages and texts. Is tonight's show a show, or is it an open mic? And I'll be honest with you, if it was coming from audience members and they were like, if it's going to be an open mic, I don't even want to go, I would understand it. But it's coming from other comics, and then when I tell them it's a show and we are pre-booked, then they're like, oh, well, then I'm gonna go somewhere else. And it's like, you know, you should really put the names of the people that are gonna be on, the names and the faces. And the truth is, if you put people's names and faces on a flyer and people don't know who those people are, they're likely to go somewhere else. So we just put down comedy night, come out, and people, they're just gonna go, all right, well, this should be funny. And you know, we're being cool about it. We didn't even charge for tonight's show, and you know, let people get food and drinks. Hopefully they'll be socially distant. It's an outdoor show. I really can't force them to do anything they want to or don't want to do. But I don't know how to really explain to somebody that not every single show is an open mic, because I don't know how this happened, but I was doing a show on a Monday night. Originally it was an open mic, and then I had to change it to a show because there was another open mic going on, and I realized that if I didn't make it, like, because I had an audience and they didn't, so I felt that it was I had to start prioritizing, like, okay, this many comics can be on the show, and I don't want to run this thing for 4 hours a night because these other guys are going to come late. And they're like, okay, I can't get time. It's an open mic. It's like, all right, well, you know what? Now it's a show. So you can tell me in advance and then show up by when I tell you to, or you can't. And maybe that's me being wrong. Maybe everything just should be an open mic. And if I'm going to say that this is going to happen on this night, then maybe I that's my fault, and I should be there until the cops tell me that we have to go home because it's 4 o'clock in the morning and no more performances. Also, I have a tendency, I like to give people more time. I don't like to just do 3 to 5 minutes, because for whatever reason, a lot of these places like to do 3 to 5 minutes on an open mic. I like to give 10. I feel that I want people that are not sitting there writing jokes all day long to be able to enjoy somebody else who has been doing that and not just a bunch of kids going, well, you know what, I wrote this with my buddy over there, and let's see how this goes to everybody else that also writes jokes. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it pretty much is the way it's supposed to be done. I'll never really understand. Now, I'm not booking this show by myself. One of the other guys, it's actually, he's the one that made the contact. I'm just helping him out with everything. So technically, he's, I think, the booker for tonight. I'm just going to hang out, help him out, you know, anything that he needs. Hopefully, he doesn't need too much. Hopefully, he can figure this out. I think I'm taking myself out of the headlining position. I think I'm going to make myself the feature, which is the middle act, which means I only have to do like up to 30 minutes, which I like doing. A lot of performers hate doing that. They hate putting themselves in the lower position because they feel that it tarnishes their brand. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as no one knows who I am. I don't have a brand. And because of that, I can't possibly tarnish it. More importantly, I'm not the guy that you kind of gotta go, I went to see him, if I'm not in that position. Because now, I don't have to perform well. I could just be entertaining. I don't have to, you know, have a punchline every 10 seconds. I don't have to be Jerry Seinfeld. I could just be that raggedy guy over there who told a story for 5 minutes and it was kind of funny. You know, he was entertaining. He hit on my wife. We had a good time. You know, whatever. It was fun. I don't feel the need to be the memorable guy if I'm in the middle spot. So I think that was smart on me, but that doesn't mean that anyone else feels that way. In fact, I know people that probably feel that was a stupid thing to do, but it made me feel more comfortable. I feel like those other guys that are doing the closing spot, I think that they probably feel not just good about it, like good about getting that closing spot. They've also been doing more shows lately than I have, and they probably have more of a confidence level than I have, and that's good. That's exactly what I want, is for the show to go well. So when I drop myself down and said, hey, move these guys up, I think it's going to work better for the entire show, their confidence, everything. I feel everybody's going to be happier, and maybe it takes me down a peg. Maybe it makes me a little less confident going forward. But you know what? I think I could take that hit. Does it mean that I actually can? I have no idea. Like I was saying before, with the faces, this guy was like, oh, maybe you should put the faces on the flyers and the names on the flyers. And I'm telling you, you start putting names and faces on flyers, people start like hitting up the people that are also on the show. Like, hey, man, you think you can get me on? And I know how that works. You wind up with a room full of acts that are just dying to go on. And if they're not going on, they're talking to their friend like, yo, this guy's not even that good. You know, I could be doing better than that. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Let me show you what's going on inside my phone. And then the show turns into an open mic. At least that's my experience. Doesn't mean that I'm right. Just means that that's what I've witnessed. And I would rather an audience. I'm really not good at open mics because I'm not good with comics. I'm good with people that are just like normal, go to work every day, and they just want to go out on Saturday and just have a good time. And right now, with everybody being stuck inside their house and a lot of these shows being like, we're going to do like a Zoom show, or we're going to do a show online, or we're going to do a show like Facebook Live or whatever. And I don't do that. I don't even audition through a computer. Like, honestly, I'm surprised that I'm doing this right now. It's strange. I'm used to being in front of an audience. I'm used to engaging with their laughs. I'm used to changing my jokes, like, all the time. I'm used to playing I guess that's the best word I can use for it, playing. I'm used to just having to think on my feet constantly. This is a very different situation for me. To talk to a computer without it saying anything back. Because even when I do voiceovers, when I do voiceover work, there's a DJ telling me like, hey, we're looking for you to do this. Hey, we're looking for you to do that. And then I'm like, all right, cool. I can do all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm very good with directions. But just to blindly do stuff, I'm going to listen to this later on and decide whether or not I like it. And if I don't like it, I might delete it. In fact, I probably will. But I don't know. I'll probably let my wife listen to it first. And she's a pretty good gauge on what people who are not me like. I can't let some of my friends listen to it because, you know, a lot of people know the way guys are. That all they like to do is like make fun of each other. So it would be like, oh, that was funny. But don't tell him that it was funny. Tell him it was terrible. So this way, you know, that confidence that he could have had going in, it won't be there. Which is also why I like performing in front of an audience that doesn't know me, because then they don't really have the time to do that, unless of course they're drunk, and then maybe they'll do that, and then maybe Scurry will get involved and toss him. But you never really know what's going to happen until you get there. No, here's the craziest part of doing this podcast. I had completely planned to go out and buy this equipment, and I was very hesitant about buying the equipment to do another podcast and to do it from home, because I have a pool table in my basement, so I wanted to do a podcast that was a video podcast revolving around football, pool, and I opted out of it because there was going to be too many visual things going on at the same time, and I just didn't want to deal with that. So then I opted to do it with this instead. And the microphone that I'm using right now. Now, if you stuck around for this amount of time, because I'm gonna probably get done with this piece and then close it up, then you kind of deserve to hear this. The microphone that I'm using right now is from the Guitar Hero set that you might have gotten when you were younger, or maybe one of your cousins has, and it's plugged into my computer. That's all it is. So I don't know if it sounds good or it sounds like crap. I guess I'm gonna listen to it a little later on. I don't have headphones in, but it was something I was gonna wind up throwing away, and I repurposed it, and it was able to go directly into my computer. So it also makes it like the whole idea of just holding onto a microphone and talking directly into it. It actually makes me feel a lot more comfortable about not just tonight, like going to this show that I'm going to have to talk for 30 minutes, but also with doing this, like doing a podcast, doing a show through Zoom, any of that kind of stuff. It's so much easier when you have a physical microphone, according to me. I mean, because my job is to tell jokes into a microphone to people who are sitting there drinking and laughing the majority of the time, or setting up a show so somebody else could do that. And if this is any good, any decent, let me know about the microphone. But more importantly, if you happen to listen to it and like it, send me a comment, send me a text, send me an email or whatever. Find me on like social media and be like, hey, I like this because XYZ, or hey, you can give me feedback that's not as positive, like something maybe that you thought I was going towards and I missed it. That'll work too. Just this way, at least I'll become aware of maybe what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. Like I said, I haven't done a podcast Oh, I didn't tell you guys this before. All right, so I haven't done a podcast since I graduated tech school. And that was... Oh, no, it was just after tech school because I did one for a comedy club for a few months. And then I had to excuse myself from the show because I felt that the other two hosts of the show would overtalk me all the time. And like you can hear by my voice, I don't yell over people. And if you're going to yell over me and you're going to talk over me, I'm just going to stop. That's just my personal thing. I don't like to start a problem about things. I'm like, you know what? If you do what you got to do, and I'm going to do what I got to do. But if what you need to do is be loud, then I will sit here quietly. And in my head, I'm allowing you to look like a jerk, which is why I don't feel that I'm actually passive aggressive. I'm just passive because I'll let you go. I'll let you work it out on your own in your own head, because that's what I do a lot. We'll see how this goes, and if this is any good, then maybe I'll do more of them. Maybe I'll have guests on. We'll see what's good. In the meantime, also let me know, do you think it should be called Why? Because I asked too many questions, or Lost? Because I'm always lost. This is Anthony Crescenzo. Later. This is Anthony Crescenzo. I should probably put a question mark on it, but whatever. So last night we did this show. They did pretty good with social distancing, I'll be honest. We did it under a tent, and there was apparently my co-producer put. Yeah, he had me and a two-man act, and then he let me book one of my friends, who's actually better than everybody else on the show. And you know, so we did like a four-act show, which is fine. And you know, like I said, it was too many people for the tent, and there was like a lot of people that were turned away, including comics that he had invited to not perform but to come watch the show. But I don't think he explained that to them. So they kind of looked like they wanted to get on, and I get that. I really do. Because every time I go to a show, I kind of want to get on too. Especially when you see that it's like packed. Because pre-COVID, if you went to a show, even if it was packed, you could get in if you were a comic. And, you know, if somebody didn't show up, you'd go on. And I know that because Artie Lang didn't show up for a show, and I went on instead of Artie. Because the opening act was going to have to be the closer, and he didn't, and it was a two-man show, and he wanted somebody to open for him. But he didn't want to admit that Artie wasn't coming. Really doesn't matter. So last night, we did this show, and it went great. Like, it was the first show that they had ever had there, as far as I'm aware of. And the owner wasn't there, but the manager was, and I guess it was like a co-owner or something. But I never met her. Regardless, they all said the show was great. They want to do more. Now they want us to go from like a Saturday show to like a Sunday or something like that, which I'll be honest, I really don't understand. Like, I understand it on their part because it's like, okay, well, let's take a dead day and make it pop. But right now, I think that it is in my and my co-producer's best interest to have it on like a Saturday, just for the sake of like, you can make a better tape. People will like show up early to get those like seats, and they'll stick around, and they'll like sit inside the place, because that was the thing. It was completely packed under the tent. But you could go get food and drinks inside the regular restaurant, but people wanted to see the show, so they got upset and they left. Which, by the way, that is what I said a bunch of times last night was the best problem we could possibly have. I'm probably going to have him down here to talk about this, because I was really happy to have that problem. I guess people were like calling him and texting him, like, yo, I can't, they won't let me in, there's not enough room. They're saying that they're at capacity already. And I'm like, this is the best thing that could possibly happen. At least that's my opinion. I don't know if that's true, that, you know, people getting turned away is the best thing. I think it is. I think it's really good when you're so used to doing all of these shows where it's like nobody shows up because it's in the middle of the week and they don't want to leave the house. And then you get something that's on Saturday and it's overpacked. And then people get upset that they can't get in. It's like, well, maybe if we charge tickets. Because that was the thing. We didn't charge for last night's show. The bar picked up the tab. You know what I mean? Which I think, right now, at least, that's kind of the right thing to do. But then you wind up with situations where, you know, not everybody could get in. And if we were, you know, sold the tickets in advance and, you know, we were sold out and then we had to do like a second thing. I get that. I really do. But yeah, he's telling me like, oh, those are my friends that they came down for the show. And I'm like, oh, your friends came down? He's like, yeah. I go, well, more than 2/3 of the show is over, so I don't know what show they came for. You know what I mean? It's like, I think they came to hang out with him. But he had, you know, he's got real life things going on outside of the business. The other thing that really, this confused me a lot. This might be what I should have opened with. So there's two comics that come up to me after the show. And one of them, I think, was a little overserved. Like, he wasn't smashed or anything. But they were both informing me that we booked the show incorrectly. I've been doing it for a while. I know how a show should be booked. And I also understand what we were dealing with last night. At least I think. I understood what I was dealing with last night. So my boy, like I said, we put him on with like less than a week's notice, and I couldn't have been any less concerned with the top and bottom of the show. But when I realized how the booking went, like who was on it, I didn't want to close the show. Because I realized that if I was in the middle spot, there's no pressure on me. I didn't have to be great. You know, I could just be good and entertaining. And I could have fun. And I wouldn't have to worry about anything. And I was right. Like, I had a much better time doing the middle spot than I would have closing the show. And I'm happy that he was taking the MC spot, because my co-producer, because he's newer. He's only been doing this for like a year. And I don't think he would have been comfortable doing a half an hour. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know. I could be wrong. I told him, do as much time as you want. And if I gotta shave, I'll shave. It's the time. It's not a big deal. And I did shave time, but it's because the opening act did like 40 minutes. And I shouldn't say it's because of that. It really isn't. The opening act did 40 minutes. And usually that's a closer amount of time. But we had a show that went from 7 to 10. So technically we had 3 hours to do a show. We started the show at 8. So that's 2 hours. But 2 hours with four guys is plenty of time. Like, all right, so he goes a little long. My co-producer went short, which is fine. I went short, too. I did, like, I did right around 25, a little over. But we weren't giving each other lights. And honestly, I wanted the guy who opened the show to do as much as he felt like doing. One, to take the time pressure off of the rest of us. And two, nobody's getting shows around here where there's an audience and you could do as much time as you feel like doing. And you could, like, as long as you're doing well, just keep going. And he recognized that. Like, he had two jokes in a row that didn't really go as well as he wanted them to. And he addressed it too. He said, "I like you guys. You let the performers know if you don't like something. You just get real quiet." And then he did a joke, and he actually said, "All right, I'm gonna get out of here with this." I used a joke that he knew for a fact worked, and it did. It did a great job. And then he's like, "All right, well, I get going." And he did about, he did like, I was told he did 40 minutes. I think in my head he did like 30. Because I thought I was looking at the time. And then the guys who closed did about, I did a little over 25, and the guys that closed did about half hour. And I think that was good that we had him on to, you know, so this way, like, between the three of us, it was over 90 minutes, which is good. And honestly, for a show people aren't paying for, we could have done less than an hour and no one could have complained about it. But I really enjoyed the fact that it was a very warm tent. Like, it was so warm I had to take my jacket off. I've never had to take my jacket off inside of a tent in January. Like, I thought that was incredible. They really made it a restaurant out of that tent. I was very impressed. Now, here's the thing about the two guys that were telling me that I had booked incorrectly or stacked the show incorrectly. They wanted the guy who went on first to go on last. They thought that, and by the way, I agree with this. They wanted the guy who showed up, like, he's a friend of mine, and he had, you know, we had talked about it earlier in the week, like the show Saturday, we talked about it on Monday, and I was like, yeah, let me talk to the guy, and, you know, we'll put it together. I didn't know he was gonna go that long, and I'm happy he did, but he could have easily walked off in 10 minutes, walked off in 20 minutes, and then it's like, all right, he did great. I knew he would do great for those amounts of times. I knew he would do great for half an hour if he decided to do it. He did a fantastic job for what was apparently 40 minutes, which is still just straight up unbelievable. I agree with those guys that the audience might not have been ready for someone to go for that long right up front, but he wasn't up front because I introduced the MC, and then the MC did, I don't know, I did 2 minutes, bring up the MC, like just the announcements really, and then the MC did about, let's say, 10 minutes up front. I felt like it was 5, but it was probably 10. And then he brought that guy up, and then he did 40. And I think that that's fine because, you know, we did have like a little setup before that happened. And then The MC went back up, and I told him to do a few minutes, and I'm happy he did, because the opener did the first act did so well that I was honestly afraid that they were going to completely tune me out. What wound up happening instead? All right, so what happened is that I wound up, like, I did my first few jokes as jokes. I did not do a lot of crowd work, which is unusual, because I generally do a ton of crowd work. Like, 50% of my act is usually crowd work. But for whatever reason, I decided to do everything as jokes that I had already set up. Like, stories. But they were just, everything was coming out very fluidly. I wasn't telling myself, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. I did it, I was like, all right, this first joke is going to be the first joke. And then I kind of just let the jokes take me where they wanted to. I kind of, like, just went with where the crowd was going. I know it sounds very hippy-dippy, but I feel like it worked. I feel like it worked better that way. People came up to me afterwards, and, like, they said my name. Which was nice, because I don't remember if I said my name at any point. So it was nice to hear people come up to me and say my name, and then say, you were really funny, and then ask for my card. That's it. That's, by the way, that's always a good thing. There's practically never a time where people go, hey, Anthony, and I say, yeah, and they're like, yo, you were really funny tonight. I'm like, cool, thank you, I really appreciate it, thank you for coming out tonight. And then they say, yo, can I get your card? And then I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I give them my card, and then they rip the card up in my face. That doesn't happen. What more likely than not happens is they ask me other locations that I'm going to be at, which is what happened last night. And then they write it down on that card, and then they go to that location to go see me again. Or they call me up because my number's on the card, or they email me, whatever. And then they book me for something at their house with a couple of their friends, or like some kind of private function. Or maybe they book me for, like, their friend owns a restaurant or a bar or something like that, and they want to book me for that because they feel that I did a good job that night. I probably do the same thing at other places. Here's the thing about comedians. We're not singers. We don't do the exact same, like, we don't do the same jokes all the time. We usually do the same jokes. Not always. It's not like, if I'm going to do crowd work on any particular night, I can go through doing one or two jokes that are my regular jokes, and then the rest of it is just, I'm playing around. I'm not specifically fishing, but I might start to feel like this is the kind of night where I can learn something and I can bring something back to my act that can be utilized later on again, because this is that kind of crowd. This is the kind of crowd that wants me to be spontaneous in the moment. And more importantly, this crowd wants the show for their show, their own show. They don't want what I've been bringing around to other people. They want that, like, this guy in front of me, Joe, wants this joke about him, about what he's wearing, about him and his girlfriend, or him and his wife, or him and his kids, or, you know, what he's eating, or what he's drinking, or his haircut, or he wants me to talk about the table next to him. Like, some shows are just like that, and that, you know, that could have been what that was when these people asked me for my information, and I don't know. I really don't. But I also don't worry about it. I just go, all right, yeah, thank you so much. Here's my contact information. And then they write down whatever they want to write down on it. And then hopefully they come see me again. Hopefully they bring some friends. That's this way I can make more fans, make more money. That's really what it's about. I always would rather write the jokes that I'd rather say the things that I think are funny. But I don't sound like I think most things are funny when I'm saying them. So it's very odd when people like just they look at me and I said something and they know that I think it's funny, but they don't know why I'm not cracking a smile or something. And I'm like, because I want to make sure that you get the joke before I start laughing and then I force you to get the joke. I don't like it when people do that to me. Like they'll start a story and they'll start laughing before they start telling the story, and then I'm now hyped up to think that this story is going to be funny, but then they laugh at everything before they say it and it ruins the story for me. I need to visualize the story while you're telling me. So regardless, we're going to go back to the thing about the two guys that were telling me how to properly stack and book a show. Because I was walking around and people were like, you know, saying thank you and great job tonight and, you know, can I get your information, which was nice. So these two guys, while this is happening, and by the way, they meant it in the best way. They really, I think that they just felt that their opinion carried more weight than it did. I'm not really sure. So we have a sold out show, right? People can't get in. And after the show, these two guys come up to me and they give me accolade first. This is a great show. I've never seen you be that funny before. You had these new pieces that I've never heard you say before. And that, honestly, that was great. Always lead with good. I love that. And then they proceeded to tell me that I should have put the opening act, the first guy, on at the end because he did so damn good and it was long. And I agreed with them on all of those, but the reason I put him on first was because he was a later addition to the show. I did not want to put him in the position where he was going to have to stay when we had already agreed that either myself or the closing act was going to be the one to finish the show, because it would have been an additional hour for him to stay there, and I didn't know if he was down for that. Not to mention, you put somebody to close a show. It's good. But then, if you don't have, if they're expecting money and you don't have it readily available, you could piss them off. And I didn't want to be in that position. So we figured, okay, well, he's probably going to do a half an hour. I'll do a half an hour. And the closer will do a half an hour. And that's fine. That's a showcase where you do multiple acts doing the same amount of time. And if somebody wants to tell me that's not what a showcase is, you're more than welcome to send me an email, comment, phone call, whatever, and let me know that I'm wrong. I'm very okay with being told that I'm wrong. I might wind up doing an episode about it, but I'm okay with people telling me that I'm wrong on things because it helps me to learn. Because maybe these guys were right. Maybe I was wrong. Because traditional Catskill shows are built exactly the way these guys told me that a show should be built, which is the first guy goes in, does a few minutes, gives it a good hard pop. makes the show very entertaining to watch up front. The second act does more time, is more engaging to listen to, but doesn't specifically do the pop, 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 pop type of style. Maybe that's more of a, maybe they're doing more stories or something like that. Then the closer does a combination of those. We'll tell long stories. We'll pop, pop, pop right up front. We'll do crowd work. We'll do, like, you know, we'll do everything that is required for that specific night to make sure that the audience gets the best show possible. I agree with all of those things. If you gotta sing, it's gonna take like 3 minutes to sing a song. If you're gonna sing a song, that's gonna cut 3 minutes into your act. If you have a 5 minute act and you take 3 minutes to sing a song, that means that the majority of your act you are singing, which means you are a singer. You're not a monologist. You're not a comedian. Your song could be funny, that could be comedic, but you're a musician, you're a singer. That's a whole different skill set. Regardless, so they're telling me about that, and I'm agreeing with them, and I'm trying to explain to them that I agree with them, that these things are, you know, yeah, I agree with you, and I do want to get some of the guys that like came down just to support the show, for future shows. In my head, I want to get them on the next show, but I can't get them all on the next show because we still need someone who's strong enough to close the show. And realistically, I just want I want to put somebody on who's a good strong act, stronger than myself, and can do the time and is not going to charge me a lot of money, because currently, I don't know if you know this, but there is not a lot of money. So, I mean, there's money, but it's you know, you can only get so much out of a night, because you know, when you're told that you could only have, there was only that, I want to say there was 50 people. In a tent, and if there wasn't like some kind of thing telling you that you only could get a certain amount of people, I think you could probably have fit easily 200. Maybe not easily. I think you could have fit 200 in there. Now, granted, it would have been even warmer, which would have been more annoying, but I don't know, my whole thing. What this is just with this whole episode is not bragging about the show, but just my highlights and lowlights of the show, and the highlights were that everyone did very well. I was very happy about that. Even like I did very well. I was happy about what I did. I really didn't have many low points during my set. The opener was great, like the whole way through. Like two of the three last things they did, I think that they just kind of needed to go to the bathroom at that point. It had nothing to do with him, because they had been there for an hour before we started the show, and then, you know, he's up there for half an hour, so it was 90 minutes. So they probably, some of them needed to go to the bathroom. And then the MC did well. He really did. The closers did great. I was very happy with how this went down. Probably my personal takeaway of things that we might want to look into for future reference is younger people were showing up like right when the show was finishing. Because some older people started to leave, and I get that. It was creeping on 10 o'clock. It was like 9:45, And I'm not even joking. Like, when the old people, when the older people were leaving, by the way, not in an exodus, just like, you know, they were getting their bills and they were trickling out. And there wasn't many. There was like, I'd say about 5 people left. But then when those 5 people left, I'm not even joking. When those 5 people left, 5 people in their 20s jumped on the table. They were outside. They saw them leave. They jumped on the table. And then there was more people behind. I'd never seen this before. There was people watching the show from outside the show, waiting for people to leave. And then so that they could hop on that table. And there was people that did leave. Like, they just forget it. You know what? We're not going to be able to catch this. You want to go somewhere else. And I get that. But then there was the other side of it. So that was great. I think that for future reference, maybe, if we do, like, if we do something like that again, maybe do, like, 2 shows, that might work. But if you're going to do those 2 shows, obviously get the money for 2 shows. And more importantly, they would have to still be like the same show, because if you put like the second show was totally different from the first show, then those people are going to stick around. And, you know, you want the second show to be a much younger show, a much more adult content type of show. Not talking about, you know, like how my wife is good, like, you know, my wife is wonderful, the kids are like this, the dog is like that. That's not the kind of thing that we would want to do with the second show. With the earlier shows, you always do that. Like the early show is the safer show, the middle show is bang bang, and then the third show is usually like the late night show. A lot of cursing, a lot of, you know, talking about genitalia and, you know, stuff like that. Regardless, since I'm running out of time, I'm gonna get going, and hopefully I understand a little bit better about what happened last night after talking about it for 30 minutes. And I don't know what I'm gonna talk about next time. I'll find out. In the meantime, thanks. Okay, so this show is essentially going to be about trying to book a show from a show and not necessarily at the same show. So yeah, and I, we did a show and it went well. It was oversold. People couldn't get in, and it was like the best problem we could have possibly had. With that said, like, there was people that came to the show thinking they were going to get stage time, and I'm not the one that told them that, by the way. The owner didn't tell them that, but it was, like I said, it was a really, really great problem to have, that there was too many people. Most of them were regular audience members. They just wanted to come out and have a good time, and they hadn't been out of the house in a while, I guess. I'm not really sure. So it was really nice, and people were giving compliments and all that good stuff. So what I did the next day, since I had some pictures and some video from the show, was I sent it to places that were, like, I hadn't talked to in a while. I was sending out material to places that I hadn't talked to in a while. And by material, I mean the most juvenile attempt to get work out of restaurants and bars and places like that, just trying to get back to doing stand-up again. Because to be quite honest, it you know, I've been doing stand-up, but it hasn't been the same. Last night, the other night rather, was it was good. It was oversold, and so I was like, all right, you know what? I got some good video. I got some good pictures from this. And it was obviously, like, you watch it and you go, this had to have been very recently, because the jokes were just too fresh in people's minds, kind of thing. And the reactions from the crowd, and you're talking about, like, what's going on in the room. And it was like, okay, this is obviously happening right around the time period of when this guy's sending me an email, a text, or whatever. So I sent them the information. I told them where the place was. And the only reason I'm informing you guys is that if you happen to be looking to try to make new work for yourself and you just had a very successful experience, I highly suggest doing it the way that I did it, or at least I'm hoping that I'm doing it the right way, because just like anything else in the show, I really have no idea if it really works. I'm hoping. I'm going to talk to somebody later on about whether or not they thought it was a good idea. So I sent out an email to a brewery in another state, which hopefully they're not on the list of places I'm not supposed to be going to. And I got an auto reply back a few minutes ago, and I thought that was fun. The auto reply says that email address doesn't work. And I was like, all right, well, I did send them an email in 2018, and that was a few years ago. So, yeah, that's on me. So I'm going to try to find out who the new contact is and send them another email, probably right after I get done recording this. I send pictures. I send, like, you know, I send a very short video. Like, I try to only send 10 seconds, maybe 30, because I don't want them to have the show. I just want them to recognize that there was something going on and that they could make money off of me being there, like any salesperson should. Like, you're going to make money off of working with me. This is going to be a successful experience for you. Because even if it winds up, like, if let's just say it's Saturday and you're already packed on a Saturday, or Thursday's your hot night and you're already packed on Thursday, and then I come in and you have the same number of people that you had, maybe a few extra people, and you have like a night where you actually have to turn people away, which is very unusual, then the next time that they come down, they're going to go, yo, what was happening that time? And they'll be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then they're going to be like, oh man, why don't you do it on a night where like nothing else is going on? Which is exactly what this place did. They wanted us to come back on a place on a night where I guess they don't have as much going on. And that's totally understandable, because you want to try to, like, you see that it did good on a good night and people weren't turned off by it. Now let me see if I could take the good situation with the good product and put it on a bad night and see if it can make that bad night something good. I've already advertised it properly, and that works. But I don't, personally, I don't want it on a bad night. Right now, I want everything to be on the good nights, because it's not just about, like, increasing value to your customers. Like, that's how I'm trying to pitch this. It's not just about increasing value to your customers. It's also about me having a good experience. It's about my company having a good experience. It's about my friends having a good experience. We come down to your, you know, let's say I go down to your place, right? And regardless if it's a restaurant or your house, doesn't really make a difference. I'd say theater, but let's be realistic. How many theaters are open right now? Go to whatever, and you know, we take like a few hours drive there, or a flight, whatever, and we get down there, and what if there's like almost nobody there, and you couldn't make this work, then because you wanted to do it on a night that was gonna not be good for you, because it's like, all right, well, we're usually dead on Tuesday, so let's do this on Tuesday. And it's like, I gotta fly out there, or I gotta drive out there a few hours, and I gotta take time away from my family, my job, my friends, and, you know, go through this whole experience, and then this is your dead time. It's like, nah, man, put me on your good time, and let's make this pop, and then when I come back in like a year, we can advertise it, and then we can advertise it, and you can make something, you know, pop out of it you know, next year. But right now it's like, oh man, just let this thing be good first. Let them have a good experience. So we can all have this together. Because if I come out on a Tuesday and ain't nobody there, you're gonna have a bad taste in your mouth about me, because you call me up to go down there and there ain't nothing good going on, and vice versa. I got a bad taste about you because you sent me into a bad situation. You know, you lose money, I lose money, we both lose a friendship and a contact, and that's not good. And then more importantly than the people that came to see it, it's like, why is there only this many people? I'll give you a perfect example. I was doing a show down the shore, you know, by the beach, and last year they had a very good audience. It was on a Saturday, you know, it was I think it was during the summer, and it was like, it was the place is like that kind of place where you go during the summer, and then they wanted to do one in the winter, like I think it was a year and a half later. And I wasn't the producer for this, I was just helping out. I think I emceed the show, and it wasn't my thing, it was a friend of mine's thing. And they got a headliner who was way bigger than the guy that they had a year and a half before, because the year and a half before they had some local dude, and the local guy packed the audience with his friends. He had a support system. He could sell tickets. You know, people wanted to come out and, you know, see him, hang with him, because they were friends with him. A year and a half later, they put us on with this guy who, don't get me wrong, he's got a lot of things going on. He's got like specials and TV stuff, and, you know, cartoons and all kinds of good things, but nobody in the area really knew who he was. The guy who booking him knew who he was, and he was all excited about it, and that's great. That's great for the producer. That's wonderful for the producer, but it doesn't help out the venue, because they're not that kind of place. That's not what they normally do. They don't even know how to advertise it, really. So they go to the local radio stations and they advertise it that way, but they're only able to get them on like twice to get on local radio. Then they go and they do it like any other way that they could possibly advertise it. They do like regular social media and, you know, whatever. So people show up. But it wasn't packed. I mean, it wasn't even like close to packed. There was a band playing at the same time. It was one of those kind of clubs where it was like, you know, they had multiple areas going on. And don't get me wrong, the guy did a good job. The headliner did a great, like, I felt like he did a really good job. Everybody was happy. But the producer didn't make anywhere near as much money. In fact, I think he might have had to take a loss on that show. And it wasn't the headliner's fault. The headliner was going to take his money. His manager got his money. I got my money. I could have gotten more money, I'm sure. But, you know, we didn't get the numbers. Some people came out to see me, which was nice of them, because I didn't specifically ask them to. But it puts a bad taste in the venue's mouth. The venue is not going to want to work with that producer anymore. And this was, instead of it being a Saturday, it was a Thursday. Instead of being during the summer, it was in the winter. So it was an off night. It was off season. And they're like, yo, why didn't this go well? And then what was the other problems with it? There were problems as far as I could see. Oh, so then... So the producer doesn't make enough money, and he's going to be mad at the venue. So he's not going to want to do anything with the venue anymore, because he's going to, I would assume that he would look at it and go, you guys put me in a bad spot, and now I went into debt over this show, or I should have been able to make so much more money off of this show, and he couldn't. And it, honestly, I felt bad. And I felt bad for any situation where people are putting each other in a bad place. So whenever I put out the email about like, yo, we just did this thing, it was really good, let's strike while iron's hot, let's try and make something happen, what day, you know, let's do a phone call, here's my phone number, here's my email address, here's my whatever, I got your number off of this person, or I got your email address off of this person, or I got it off of whatever social media, or, you know, I heard about you on the radio, or there was an ad in the newspaper, whatever it is. Yes, you know what, some people actually read the newspaper. Even those free newspapers, I actually found out about this from a guy who runs a bar, and he was telling me that there are people that read the free newspaper to find out what the local activities are, and I thought he was messing with me, and then I actually saw it, and I was like, I don't even know how to go about that. Apparently, you got like sent, it's a whole to-do. You got like send an email like 2 weeks in advance or maybe a month in advance, like let them know what the date is and let them know you want to put it in, and it doesn't sound like it's that hard, but it was like trying to figure it out originally, and I'm probably gonna do it more from now on. It's cheaper than flyering, I'll tell you that. Flyering is a very expensive way to go. Television time and radio time, that burns money and you have no idea if it hit, but at least you're not out there wasting man hours. I'll give it that. Because putting together a visual flyer and then making a ton of printed copies and then, you know, putting them in people's hands or putting them on people's doors and in their cars and or going to the mall and like handing them out, like that is a lot of man hours. Like you really kind of need to do that yourself with the other entertainers on the show. And then you have to hope that that person given the card does not piss someone off, because it just makes it worse. So I like to, like I said before, I like to go and just, when I have something good happen, go and immediately talk to the customers that may or may not have been privy to it, and see if maybe they want to do something like immediately. Because I know that, like, you know, I'm getting some bumps on my social media. I'm getting some bumps on, you know, people like talking to other people and like, hey, this was a really good night. I heard about this and blah, blah, blah. And then maybe they just like see my name and then they go, you know, research it and like, oh, okay, you know what? He just had a really good night over at this place with one of his friends. Let's try to make that happen. Oh, well, we would really rather do it on this because X, Y, Z. And then I can make a negotiation as to what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. Try to figure out the flyer situation, because honestly, I'd rather the bar do that for me, because it works out better if they, you know, they create their own flyers with their own flyer guy or backdrop with their own backdrop guy. And it just, you know, it doesn't say any names. It doesn't say any faces, show any faces rather. It just has, I mean, this works for me. And regardless, all right, so no names, no faces, it just says like, this form of entertainment happening this day, this time, at such location, and the location is the place that you're currently in. That way when you come in and eat dinner, eat lunch, grab a drink with your girlfriend or your wife or husband or boyfriend or whatever, you come in, or your friends, you come in, you hang out, and you see that, you're like, oh, I'm into that kind of thing. And then you go and you come back and you watch it, and then that adds value to the location, because it's local people that come to that place. Because I've done shows where we go out to Long Island and it's like everybody comes with me, and then the audience is coming from far away too. They're not in Long Island, and it's like this barely does anything for anybody, because like, first of all, these people don't want to get drunk if they gotta, you know, cross a bunch of bridges and tunnels and stuff. They want to be able to, you know, just maintain, hang out, have a good time, and that's it. But we don't have access to the local crowd. Now, if the local place were to be like, hey, we're going to advertise this. Okay, cool. Great. That's so much better. I would rather you be the one to advertise it over me being the one to advertise it. Because if I advertise it, I'm going to advertise it to people I know. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be people that know who you are or where you are. And they might Google you and like see a bad review and not want to go there. Now it's like, yeah, whatever. But then like, all right, say I go to some place and the locals that go to that place see it. And they're like, oh, wow, this thing is going down. All right, let me go. So they go, and then they have a good time, and they see people there because those other people know about it because they already know about the place. They've been going there for like a week, a month, whatever it is. And they saw the thing, and they're like, all right, let me come down when this thing is happening. So they go to that, and then they have a good time, and there's a bunch of pictures of it flooded, and then they post it. And then after they post it, their friends are like, yo, would you go to? And yeah, then like, oh yeah, we went to go see this guy, and you know, we had a really great time, and we may or may not remember any of what he was talking about, but we remember we had a good time. And then they want to go the next time there's something going on, and now that venue has a new customer base, not just their customers coming back, but they've told their friends about it. And that's what I really do more than anything else. Like, yes, I, you know, some people actually like to come watch me, generally my friends, generally my family. There's, you know, some people that like to, oh yeah, I bet. I'm like, really? You know who I am? I'm surprised when that happens. Like, my friends are like, yeah, you know him, and you still want to come see him? Really? Because he ain't that good. Because that's what guys do to each other. We just can't be nice to one another. I don't know why. I wish I did. I wish I could figure out, and hopefully I'll start getting some guests on the show. This little thing where I talk to a computer, and I'll get some people on, and I can ask them the same questions that I'm kind of asking myself right now, as to, does it work for me to text venues that somebody else gave me a lead on? Does it work to email the venues better? Does it work to go down to the venues? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't like going to the venues to go ask them, hey, you want to do this thing? Because I go there, I don't know, you tell me if I'm wrong. If you're a promoter, you tell me. I got to go there, I got to make an appointment, I got to order a drink, and if I don't make an appointment, definitely got to order a drink. Text the guy, and he's like, yo, I'll be down there in a little bit. And then I'm waiting like 20, 30 minutes because he just wants to make me sweat. Whatever with that, that's fine. It doesn't bother me too much, but I'm spending money just to go have this meeting. It's not just the gas, it's not just the tolls, but it's like, now you want me to buy food, you want me to buy a drink. And what happens if I buy two, three drinks, four drinks? Let's just say I'm gonna be smashed, and I can't even go check out another venue for the night. I can't go do a show. Like, the worst part is, like, most of the time they want to meet with you while normal people are at work. Like, oh yeah, come down to my place at like 2-3 o'clock. It's like, look, I might be able to make sometimes, but most people, like people with jobs, like real, like, they can't. It's hard. Let's say you get out of work at 5-6 o'clock. You cannot make it to go to a venue and talk to them at like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon because they got, you know, orders coming at that time. But if you come in during like their regular food time, they, you know, when people are actually eating like happy hour food or happy hour drinks, or you come at like 11 o'clock at night and the owner's not there, manager's not there, nobody's there for you to talk to. I'd rather do it through a non-face-to-face thing at first, and then it's like, all right, well, let's sit down with the bar manager, because bar manager's there, bartenders are there. If you want to talk to somebody about doing something locally, go talk to your bartenders, go talk to your bar managers. And you know, sometimes you can get the big places, sometimes you gotta do dive bars, and it doesn't matter. It's just doing something where hopefully there's an audience. Because I can't speak for everybody, I don't feel that I do good with other people that do the same thing that I do. I feel that I only do well with people that are just there to be entertained. If you're there to be entertained, even if you heckle, even if you like, I'm going to bust your chops back a little bit, I can still have a good time with you. We will still have a good time together. But if you're going to sit there, if I gotta tell jokes to like 20, 30 people with their notebooks out, with their faces in a cell phone, that they're having a conversation talking about what they're going to do later on, when they get on stage, what they're going to do, what they just did because they were on stage a little before me, you know, about this other place that they go to, that's not what happens at a real show. And it's so like rough to say that, but you go to a real show and it's like, you know, those guys are, they probably know each other and they're going to talk to each other before the show or after the show. But during the show, they are very respectful of one another. If they're going to have a conversation, they go into another room. They don't want to have a conversation in the same room as the performer, because what that does is it messes up the guy who's on stage. And the last thing they want to do is mess up the guy who's on stage, because then that guy is going to care less about what they're doing right now while they're on stage, and he or she is going to talk during their act too. I'm like, all right, well, you have no respect for me, I have no respect for you. And honestly, I understand that. You shouldn't, like, the club, the venue makes announcements. Theaters do this too. Like, they have a recorded announcement that says, please put your phones down, please put your phones on silent, please put phones, turn your phones off, please don't use your communication devices during the show. Everybody's here to have a good time, but everybody's here to watch this show. Everybody's here to be entertained by this show. If you have to take a phone call or whatever it is, text message, get out, just leave for a little bit, because that's not what anybody else is here for. Everybody else came here, paid their tickets or paid their time to come, whatever it is, they're here to do this thing. And if you ever do that on a television recorded show, they have to stop the whole thing. So they actually tell you, you need to turn off your device now. Don't put on vibrate, don't put on silent, it needs to be off. And if you walk out of the room, don't come back, because we can't have people walking in and out of the set. It's got to be one or the other. And I know, because I got in trouble for that once. All right, so realistically, this whole thing was about going to try to get new work off of a job that you just did. And I hope that it helped you out if you were listening to this. If it did, let me know. If it didn't, let me know. If you have questions for me and maybe we could like talk about it, hit me up. And I don't know, I'm probably gonna do another one as soon as possible. So thanks for listening. We'll be right back.